The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, James and Betty celebrate 50 years of ministry with their favorite moments, including Academy Award-winning actor Robert Duvall.
That's good because I want people to see that that there is one God.
Singer-songwriter Michael Curtis.
You're going to hear him sing a song to me. And the highest response in the history of our ministry, people calling to give their lives to Christ.
A life-changing testimony you won't want to miss. Next.
I want to welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled. I mean, we're excited about, of course, 50 years of marriage and ministry, and this year it's an anniversary celebration. Now, today, you're going to see the Academy Award-winning actor, Robert Duvall. Find out he was kind of following me, watching everything we did on television. Came to our home the year he won the Academy Award for Tender Mercies and said, I think you're the best preacher I ever heard. And I think one of the illustrations, I like all of them, but one of them you used, I think it's the greatest illustration on the love of God I ever heard. I want to use it. I want to use it in a movie. Well, you're going to hear him telling that, then you're going to see how he did do it. You'll hear the illustration from me. And then you're going to hear the award-winning producer in Nashville, just won an award, Michael Curtis, who in our old set, Betty, when we first started, it's going to be pretty funny, like, and of course, I had black hair. But remember, this is 50th anniversary. You're going to hear him sing a song to me, and the highest response in the history of our ministry, people calling to give their lives to Christ, jammed all the AT&T services. You're going to hear that. First of all, Robert Duvall. I want to take you back now and show you what you said got your attention when you came to me and you asked if you could use this illustration in your movie. Let's go back and look at this, all right?
Right.
Well, my son was very small. He used to crawl up in my lap and put his hands up on my face. And he'd say, Dad, he couldn't talk very plain. Dad, I love you. I remember when that little fella finally began to walk. He was very heavy. He was a big boy when he was a baby. And I remember the first time I entered my home and those chubby little legs carried him rapidly down that hall with those fat little fists up in the air saying, Dad! I grabbed him and he put those little hands on my face and I grabbed him and I looked at the little dimples in each knuckle and I kissed him and I turned him over and I kissed him. And as I held my little boy's hand and I thought how masterfully God created us, I suddenly saw in that beautiful little hand a horrible nail. And I began to think, God, I wouldn't let someone come in my house and take my little boy and take him out in my yard and get some old boards and put my little boy on boards and take big old nails and put them on his little hands. And while he looked up at me and cried, Daddy, Daddy, I wouldn't let him drive those nails through his little hands. I don't love anyone that much. But God does.
Now look at these beautiful, beautiful little hands.
Hallelujah.
Look at them. Now imagine a nail piercing the palms of this child's hands. And then picture the nails going into an old board. If you used to take two boards and nail them together, I know I don't have that much love in me to do this to my son, do you? I know I don't. I don't have that much love in me. But God does.
Amen.
God does. God does. God does.
Do you have any personal desires for the film, let's say, to have any kind of an effect in our country?
Absolutely. I think we all have our individual journeys or journey from the cradle to the grave. And between that, in that journey for me, what I think I've done here is something that's therapeutic to the nation. in a small way. And if that's something I've had to offer in my lifetime, that's good, because I want people to see that there is one God. And you know, to take it a step further, that His Son, Jesus Christ, is to be glorified. And that this can help people. The essence of that can help people. And without becoming sanctimonious, maybe I've had a woman come to me and said, you know, this movie affected me. I'm a Jewish agnostic lady from Long Island, but somehow this movie got to me. So if it gets to people, then without great explanations, then maybe that's good.
Well, you know, I guess one of the finest things that happened to us as a family, and we've had a long-standing friendship with Robert Duvall, prayed together a lot with him. He's been on a number of times. He's come with us. Stephen Curtis Chapman has been with us, but he's just a great friend. But he told us, he said, James, one of the reasons I wanted to come in your home and meet with you and all three of your children, which he did, sat around the table, we had dinner together. He said, because I see Jesus in you, and I believe you're the real deal, and I wanted to come look at your family, and you are. And Robert, he didn't like just religion without a real relationship. He said, I see that relationship. We want it for everybody. Well, Michael Curtis, as one of the most famous, most awarded country music writers and singers, and he came because we have a very similar testimony. And he came to give that years ago when we first started the talk format. And it's in an old set, but you need to listen to what happened when he just kind of shocked me. And highest response ever. I mean, thousands and thousands of people called in to trust Christ. Let's join that in that very special moment.
Yes, in fact, brother, I wrote a song just for you. I want to play for you. You mind?
You mean during the course of this program?
Like right now. Oh,
really? You mean you want to do it right now?
Like right now.
You wrote a song for who? Huh?
You know those Set Free tapes you turned me on to?
These right here?
Yeah, while I was in my motel room, me and Doc kind of got
did
together.
Did I know you were going to do this?
No, sir, you didn't.
I didn't know he was going to do this. Did I?
No, sir, you didn't.
You sure you're supposed to do this?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right.
You know the prince of the world. Well, that old demon, he's heartless. He had me walking in chains. Had me blinded by darkness. Then I met the sun. There was a dawning of truth. And I've got something better than the fountain of you. Satan, he's hot. Yeah, he's mad as the devil. 'Cause I'm out of my prison and getting back on the level. Thanks to the one who went down to hell, took away those keys from that old rascal and let me out of my cell.
But you found out you were an illegitimate child, that your mother had been raped.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of pain, but you really found some deliverance. But did you ever go and deal with that aspect with your mother and find out some things and have a kind of a healing experience in your relationship with your mother?
That didn't happen really till this year. I mean, you know, we had communications, Christmas and things like that, but there was always that wall. Yeah. And in 1991, you know, I've always been a songwriter, but never a book writer, and God gave me the idea for the book, Illegitimate Question Mark, But I Have a Father. And I said, Lord, I'm not a book writer. But he said, oh, yeah. And so it was to April this year, 5 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up and said, it's time to start that book. So I go to the computer like a big book know-it-all. And I start, type, and I get frustrated. I said, I don't know what to say. And my wife says, well, you know, Mike, you ain't even called your mom, really even talked to her about it. And I was just going on things that I'd heard. So I called my mom, and this was all in one day now. I called my mom, told her I was starting that book, told her I wouldn't use our real names if that would make her feel better. But I said, Mom, you never really told me what happened to you. And I'm gonna tell you something, James, that day, God broke the dam wall and the floodgate. And I'm gonna tell you something, she opened up and she shared, and she started getting free. I could hear it in her voice, and she said, you know, I was gonna call you today. And I said, you were? She said, yeah, I was. She said, your dad's moved back to town. I'm thinking, oh, this is the man that raped my mom. I said, well, how you feel about that? Well, it's all right. It don't really bother me anymore. But said he's got lymphocytic leukemia, and said his dad had it, and he wanted to make sure the kids were checked. And one of the first things hit me, I wonder if he knows Jesus. And then a light went off in my head, and I thought, what a privilege. I said, Lord, you got to let me do that. And it was a thing that says, what would be a bigger privilege for me than to lead the man that raped my mama, Jesus Christ? And I've still got that goal, brother. I'm supposed to meet with my dad.
You know, my father raped my mother. And she conceived at age 41, gave birth to me. And later in my life, my mother wanted me to have my real father, to be my father, so she married him. And actually divorced him and married him, I was told, 5 or 6 times. And it was not a good thing. When he came into our home, he was an alcoholic. And he would go into a drunken rage and nearly kill my mother. In self-defense, I nearly killed him. And all of these things that happened were awful. But one time, this was after I started sharing Jesus with people in public ministry, Michael, my father, came where I could try to help him. And the truth is that one day I was driving down the street and I saw a man laying in the gutter by the curb. And I was in junior college at the time and preaching. And I pulled my car over and I walked across the street and dropped down and by the curb and I rolled this man over to see, you know, if he's all right. And when I rolled him over, I looked in the face of my own father. Oh. My dad had fallen in a drunken stupor, and there he was. And you know, Betty, remember I brought him home. We lived in a trailer, in a mobile home. It was 50 by 10. You remember Rhonda's little bed filled the whole room where her bedroom. That was it. It was a cubby hole. That was her little bedroom. And our bed wasn't much, bedroom wasn't much bigger. And we just lived in that little trailer. But I took my father, my real father, alcoholic father, to my house, but I could not let him go in the house. I had to put a big chair out in front of the trailer and let my daddy sleep in that chair while I tried to help him. You say, why do you take him in the house? He's your daddy. Because I could not trust my daddy with my little girl that was about 2 years old at the time. That's a terrible thing to say, but I couldn't. But Michael, I tried to help my daddy. And one day, I went over where I'd gotten him a room to stay, and my daddy had thrown up all over his shirt from being drunk. And I knelt down on the bed. I mean, the man was stinking. He was just filthy. He had paid somebody to go buy him a drink, and they brought it to the room. And he got so drunk he couldn't walk. Just threw up all over the sheets. Now, you got to understand, and you can, but this was tough for me. I knelt down and I reached over and I pulled that man's body, that filthy man who had thrown up on his own clothes, and I held him and I looked in his face and I said, Daddy, I don't know you. I don't know you, but I love you. I love you. And I lowered my head and I began to cry until my tears fell on the floor. And I said, Daddy, I want you to know Jesus with all my heart. And he did walk down an aisle with me the next Sunday morning and make a decision. I know the tendency here would be to applaud, because that's what I wanted everybody. They did applaud in the church when my old drunk daddy went down the aisle. But Michael, my daddy never changed. He wouldn't even follow the Lord in baptism. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't do it. There was never a change in my daddy. And I witnessed to him the last time, 1 week before I came right here to the football stadium, here where we are. There's a huge football stadium near here. And I was speaking in that stadium when I got a call the next week that my daddy had died in his sleep. I don't know where my daddy is. I have told people many times that when I get to heaven and I see Jesus and I see all the believers, that I have this hope. It's faint, but it's real. That as I see Jesus, that out of that crowd of people around Jesus, there would just be a figure that would begin to wave a hand and say, "Hey, son, look here." And it would be my daddy. And that my daddy would say to me, the night I went to sleep, before I went to sleep, I looked up toward God and said, "God, I never did anything right, but I want you to forgive me." Let me tell you how great our God is. My daddy never got to do one good thing for anybody that we know of. He never did anything for his son that I'm aware of, except break my heart. But without ever getting to do one good thing, the God that sets us free and the God that loves us is so great and merciful that he would have reached down that night and said, "Joe Bailey Robinson, I write your name in my book tonight." I could see my daddy in heaven. I'm praying that you'll win your daddy, and you'll get to see your daddy have heaven in him right here on this earth.
I'm going to see him, brother. We're going to see him together.
That's my prayer. Oh, boy, that's kind of a tough, precious memory, because so many people called right after that and gave their lives to Jesus so their family would be able to see him in heaven. If you have you never invited Jesus to come in your heart, he's just knocking at the door of your heart gently. He doesn't tear his way in. He's not an intruder. You invite him in. But you can. God, be my Father and my God. Forgive me. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord because you love me so much that you gave your Son. You do love me that much. He really does. He loves you that much. If you've given your life to Christ, you prayed that prayer, call that number. Let me send you the book that I wrote as a Bible study. It shares my story, and how I found Christ. We'll send you Knowing God as Father. You just call and say, I prayed and asked Jesus to come in my heart, and would you? And they'll pray with you and send you the book. Just it's a Bible study as well as a testimony that'll really inspire you. And then I want to remind you, as we praise God for 50 years of ministry, that I feel like my ministry's just begun. We're not shutting down. We're reaching out. We want to put God's arms of love around a broken world. We want to rescue people. And our Water for Life program saves millions of lives and gives people a future. And we give them water for life, and then we can tell them about the water of life. I want you to watch this closely. And then I want you to join in showing people how great our God is and how much He loves others. Through you, you are the expression of His heart, the extension of His hands of love. Watch this very closely.
There are times in life when we make sacrifices. Out of love for another, we give something up. Maybe it's a dream laid down. Floris has a dream. For most of her 18 years, she's watched those in her village fight this enemy of contaminated water, and she's longed to see a change. But then it became personal.
Papa
This wasn't part of the plan. Flores was a dedicated student with a plan to make a difference. There was something in her eyes. Behind the hurt, a resolve. While for now, life has forced Flores to lay some things down, her dream isn't dead. Flores is a fighter for the life of her sister and all those in her village.
I can feel, and I really believe God lets me somehow identify with what people feel. That's compassion you suffer with. She has lost a lot. You've lost, we have. And then you've got someone precious and you want to keep them, but you can't if you can't give them the cure. They need clean water. That's the hope for that little sister.
It is, James. And as I watch those two, I think there's that big sister that stepped into the place of being a mom to her little sister. And she's doing all she can do, but she doesn't have anything but the disease water to give her, and they have to have water to even last a few days. And so she's asking in her heart for somebody to come, I believe that, to help them to be able to both grow up and to be strong and to have a life that's without pain and loss like they've already experienced.
You know, many people today have called to say, I want to drink freely of the water of life. I want to know Jesus. And what we do when we show you a need like you just saw, we want those people to have water for life so they can live in health. They're never going to have a lot of nice things necessarily, but life is the most precious thing. It's like you would give up everything you can see just to have life and for her to have a little sister that's healthy and have a future. We can give them that. We can give them water for life, but we are with the missionaries. With the wonderful support of our viewers, to the missionaries around the world, we're going to tell them about the water of life. We're going to tell them about Jesus. This is the last week now in our Water for Life emphasis now. We've got a goal of 500 wells. God knows I wish we could do twice that. Because God loves all the people we're trying to touch with His love. One thing to talk about love, it's another thing to demonstrate it. Nothing demonstrates any more clearly than water for life. Would you dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check, go online, lifetoday.org, make the best gift you can. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call the number and tell us you're mailing it in. We have to know so we can tell them to start the drilling in the various areas. Tell the missionaries it's coming, and we need to hear from you today. So whatever you can do, if you can drill a well, 4,800, or give a part of that well, 12 or 24, pray for someone to join with you. Our $48, $144, surely you could do that, couldn't you? To give somebody water the rest of their life, $48, 10 people, water the rest of their life, $144, 30 people, water the rest of their life. Would you do it? I pray with all my heart you will during this last week. If you get a busy, you be persistent, you press on. A lot of people are calling to give their life to Christ. So you be persistent and say, they're calling to get life, I'm calling to give life, and I'm going to be determined to do it. And we thank you for it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Remember, if you gave your life to Christ, knowing God as Father, so glad to send it to you. And then I really hope as many of you as possible will really step up, and I know it may be a big sacrifice, but we'd love you to have the limited edition celebrating 50 years, Living Water Bronze, Robert Summers, the world's greatest sculptor. Thank you, Robert. You've helped us win millions of people to Christ and save lives all over the world. Thank you, Robert. Get the bronze. Help us give water to those people and drill those wells. And we want to thank you for celebrating 50 years of ministry, and we're celebrating 50 years of marriage. And thank you for investing prayers in our life, in the lives of people around the world. Thank you for your gift. Remember, last week, be persistent, get through, and let's share life. Thank you for helping.
Tomorrow, remembering what God has done.
I tell you today that spiritually speaking, amnesia can kill you.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.